It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, and I am the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile, located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And our website, if you want to shop online or just check us out, see what products we have, is www.cannabama.com. That's C-A-N-N-A-B-A-M-A.com. Come down and see us. Give us a call. Shop online. We got some new employees. We're losing one to Taiwan. I know I talked about that before. We had our going away party last night. I did definitely cry in a restaurant. Cause you know, she's my son's love, you know, they've been together for 3 years. So, watching him prepare for that has been a little hard for me. And of course I'm going to miss her because she's awesome and she's a great employee. So I know my customers are going to miss her too. She's definitely this sweet, gentle, you know, pretty one. The rest of us are just loud and mean. No, we're not mean. She is very nice. a couple quick things before I get into our guest. Of course, I mentioned that we were going to be ramping up for Mardi Gras starting Friday, February 11th. The first parade's rolling downtown, and it's going to be sort of just pandemonium for a couple weeks. We are going to be introducing a new edible product that I'm having made with a local baker. And they're called, they're king cake bites. And so they'll be freshly made, and we're going to infuse the icing. So we're definitely going to do some Delta 8, probably some CBD too. My mom was like, you're not going to do CBD? So I'm going to do CBD too, but you'll be able to come in and get king cake bites. And if you haven't seen my post on social media, just the picture makes my mouth water. They're so beautiful. And they're big enough. You know, they're sort of like the size of a beignet. 2-3 bites, you know. Super yum. Cream cheese and cinnamon filling and stuff. So we're excited about that. Those will be available in the store on Friday. We've got some new Boom Boom sticks. For those of you who were customers a couple years ago when we had Mardi Gras last. We've got an indica that we call Bon Ton. And the sativa is Bon Ton. The indica is called Old Bammy. And so we're going to have those. They're a blend of mini moon rocks. And one is, Hawaiian Haze, and the other is Sweet Kush. So we're going to have some special pre-rolls, some special edibles, and we've got some weed beads. We're going to be doing some merch giveaways. I've got T-shirts on the way. All kind of different stuff. So we're excited about that. And then comes Senator Melson to, well, start us off on the wrong foot on a Monday. And I'm really sad because I'm torn now because Senator Melson is the champion of medical in Alabama. He is the senator who basically was instrumental in getting SB 46, the Compassion Act, passed for the use of medical marijuana in the state of Alabama. And unfortunately, he has now dropped a bill for this session to ban Delta 8 and saying that it's synthetic and it's detriment to the state and the people. And I skimmed it because I was madder than a hornet and I had to get down here to do this. But, you know, I know that just like with CBD and everything else, there's barrels of stuff coming in from China that people are using haphazardly. One of the main reasons I think that they justify these ban bills is that it's not regulated. Well, regulate it. You know, don't let gas stations sell it. Make the sources, you know, as much as I love my products that I buy from other states that are the best quality, because some of us do our homework, you know, even if they just allowed us to use it if it's been grown and processed in the state, there's got to be a way to have a happy medium. I know I'm not the same person when I don't have the product I need, and I can't do Delta 9. It makes me crazy. Makes me paranoid. It doesn't sit well with my body. Delta 8, however, has been a lifesaver for me. And so I know lots and lots of my customers that are using it for pain. They're using it for sleep. They're using it for their stress and, you know, anxiety. And they're all going to be upset. And it will, it literally, Delta 8 has saved all of our businesses. You know, it really has, it revived our businesses because we were all on this terrible death spiral thanks to COVID and all of the restrictions. And Delta 8 kind of revived the traffic and the interest in our businesses and added a whole layer of offering that we could give these people. And it ramped up our ability to meet people's needs. And now they're going to pull the rug out from under us. And I don't understand why. I know some states are banning it. Legal states are banning it or saying you can only get it in a legal dispensary. So you have to have a medical card. When, you know, the only substance in cannabis that's been made illegal is Delta 9 THC. This is not Delta 9, it's Delta 8. But anyway, I'm sure there will be a lot more information forthcoming. And I will be in Montgomery next week. And there are certain offices that I will definitely be knocking on the doors because there needs to be a well-rounded, at least a conversation. And I know Senator Melson is an intelligent person. He's a doctor. He's fought for marijuana legalization in Alabama. And so I know that, you know, we can have that conversation. So just something, I'm going to be putting out a press release. And I'm going to be putting out a call to action. You know, if you're listening and you're not active in any way, you don't shop anywhere, you don't use products, but you're okay with legalization or you want legalization, but you're not participating, please, 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 please consider joining the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Help us. There's like a handful of us. And we also have families and we have jobs and businesses, and we cannot do it all ourselves. We cannot get it done and let 99.9% of the population of the state sit back and let us do all the work. It just can't be done. It's not hard to make phone calls. It's not hard to type up emails. It's really not. It's the minimum so that when you or a loved one is in need of the product, maybe you don't need it now or you don't feel like it's for you now. But you never know what's coming, and how nice would it be for you to have it available, you know? So we're trying to help people who cannot help themselves, and we're trying to give everyone a better opportunity to choose for themselves something besides, you know, addictive or very destructive pharmaceutical options. Anyway, that's my rant and my soapbox for the day. This is not small stuff. This is not, oh, people just want to get high. This is not what this is. This is medicine, life-giving medicine. It's a superfood. How many times do I have to say it? Anyway, sorry, I'm a little bit ruffled today. But, you know, this isn't fair. And what's funny is none of these people who tried to ban it last year, you know, Delta 8 and Delta 10, they never come to the people who are actually boots on the ground talking to the customers who are the consumers. They're not patients because we're not doctors, but they're somebody's patients and they're not getting their needs met wherever they are a patient. So they're coming in as a customer for me and I'm able to help a lot of them. And that's a huge thing. And why wouldn't anybody want that? Why would anybody who's supposedly speaking for the people and looking out for the best interests of the people be able to say, no, you can't have this? There's nothing, it's not hurting anyone. It's not hurting anyone. And they can't say that it is. Anyway, before we have to go to our first break, and I apologize to our guest for being long-winded, but I want to introduce our guest. Tonight we're speaking to Justin Trowbridge. And Justin is part of the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, like me. He's his state rep. And so what we're going to talk about is his role as producer for the Cannabis Science and Industry Congress. He was a part of the team who had the first licenses to cultivate hemp for research and development in Costa Rica. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
We don't have a whole lot of time before we have to go to break, but that's a mouthful, the Cannabis Science and Industry Congress. I saw some of the pictures and I saw some of your videos, and they were quite entertaining. I know, and I've talked to some of the other guys that you were working with. When we come back, I want to talk about what exactly this Congress is. Stay with us. We'll be back from the break in just a moment.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. As I said before, right before the break, our guest tonight is Justin Trowbridge. He is with the Cannabis Science and Industry Congress. And Justin, your role was producer for this Congress that met in Costa Rica. Was it last week?
About a week ago, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, what is that?
Yeah, so basically, Dan O'Brien and Cree Crawford, they're the co-founders of this organization. They went to the Costa Rican government and said, coming out of COVID, they took a big hit with the tourism because nobody came down there during the pandemic and
right.
peak and all that. And they said, well, we may have a way of doing this to help you restart and get some more money into Costa Rica.
Right.
So Dan went down there and set up two different grows on government property to grow not only industrial hemp, but also cannabis under an R&D program. So he technically is the first legal producer of hemp and cannabis in Costa Rica.
Wow.
Working directly with the Minister of Agriculture and INCA, which is their Department of Ag. And this Congress was kind of the culmination of that research project for the viability of the products in Costa Rica, and the president announced legalization while we were down there. And I got looped in because I did an interview with Cree and Dan for the Industrial Hemp Coalition. They said, hey, you're pretty good at this. You should come down to Costa Rica and do this. I was like, yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to see Costa Rica, right?
Yeah. Well, I pretty much saw my hotel, the inside of the exhibition hall, and then my hotel again.
Right. Awesome. I know. I saw a picture of you lying on the floor in the airport.
Yeah. So they canceled my flight coming back because of the snow on the East Coast. And so I got to spend an extra day in Costa Rica. And all I did was edit YouTube videos and then passed out for 18 hours when I got home. So.
Oh, gosh. I can imagine that was brutal.
Yeah.
It
was a lot of fun, but we did a lot of crazy stuff. So.
I bet. Tell us a little bit about what was discussed at the Congress.
So the focus on this was really to bring in experts from around the country and around the planet, for that matter. We had people from Canada, the U.S., Central America, South America, and we had all these presenters that talked about everything from the medicinal side of cannabis use, focusing on the mistakes that other countries had learned, Jeff Whaling, who's the National Hemp Association chair, spoke, and he said, whatever you do, don't everybody go after CBD. It's
right.
a bad recipe. It did not work.
Right.
And so it was amazing the stuff that was talked about. I mean, it was insomnia, it was pain mitigation, it was dementia and Alzheimer patients and bioplastics and hempcrete. I mean, it was everything under the sun.
Right.
And people just ate it up and they loved it.
Well, I'm sure if they've never had this on in this country before, and it's a small place. It's not very big. So I imagine that it's all new to them, right? It's pretty fresh.
The legal side of it is yes.
Yeah.
Let's be candid. The clandestine market has a pretty good hold in
Well,
there,
of course. So. But I mean, like the industrial hemp side, the fiber and the hempcrete and the bioplastics and biofuels and all of the potential of the plant. I mean, I'm sure that they see a lot of the information that we see, but as far as them having this available to them in their country, this is all new.
Yeah, and with the seven different climates they've got down there, they think they can do 4 to 5 crops a year.
Wow.
And they built into the law hemp and cannabis export. So
really?
They'll be a major supplier here in a short period of time.
That's awesome. Because I know there are still plenty of places that will not let you, they don't grow it, they don't allow it, they won't import it or export it, they have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and they specifically went after that because they can grow more hemp and more cannabis than they could ever deal with.
Oh, I'm sure.
So they're going to have a surplus, and the only way to fix that is by exporting quality product. And they've got all the Costa Rican government did a great job of saying, look, we don't want to mess this up like everybody else did.
So well, and that's so smart. That's so smart because in the U.S., as soon as they said, okay, go, people just went, and it was chaos. You know, I read something like 94% of the hemp grown last year or the year before was for CBD.
Yeah.
And it just crashed all the prices and it ruined people's financial situations because they couldn't get rid of their biomass.
Yeah. And in Nebraska, I was part of the Hemp Industries Association up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they called us after they issued 6 processing licenses. They said, hey, how are we going to do CBD oil? We're like, you already issued licenses for that. Like, no. Processing is for fiber and grain, so we already, those people are taken care of. How do we do hemp oil? It's like, no, processing for oil extraction.
Right.
You've already issued those licenses. They're like, oh, no.
So. Oh, wow. Mm. Well, I know, you know, I'm in Alabama, so, you know, we've actually done pretty well, but, you know, now we're in the thick of medical and trying to figure out, you know, what's in the bill and what's actually happening, the timeline, and there are some details that aren't clear, and people are saying all sorts of different things. I get hit up with questions all the time, and I'm just like, why does everybody think I know the whole answer? but I guess because I'm the loudmouth, but But it's awesome that they're listening to people that are experts that have already been through this with the U.S. and other countries, because we did sort of screw it up right out of the gate. On the whole, it could have been way more organized. I mean, I would think, I mean, from what you're telling me, they have more information that they need to be able to say, okay, here's people that are going to grow for this. And these people are going to grow for that. And here's a limited amount of each, so we're not inundated with something we can't export, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's few processors for fiber and things like that here in the U.S., you know, and then there's like, I know for sure of one dude building hempcrete houses or hempcrete structures, and I know of the one place in Kentucky that's making the hempwood flooring and things like that. I mean, there's so few people doing those types of things. Everybody's doing consumable hemp, but or at least in the CBD and the supplement market, not so much in the food, but there are so many other aspects of the market that we should be utilizing. And Costa Rica is taking a slow approach, it seems like, and really kind of watching the rest of us run around like chickens with our heads cut off.
Yeah, I mean, when we were down there, they timed the president's announcement for the going forward with the programs that they've been working on. They released that information on the second day of the Congress for us.
Oh, wow.
The only caveats they had were they reduced the THC content for hemp from 1% to 0.5.
Which is still more than the U.S., right?
Unlicensed hemp grows, which is common sense. And then
right.
The other one was no medicinal home grow of cannabis the first year. So,
but they're open to it after a year? They're open to home grow after a year?
Possibly. They also have an election coming up, so we'll see what the new president does.
Ah, oh, the lovely gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so are they focusing more on fiber and grain, or are they also going to enter the CBD market? Do you know?
It's kind of a mix. So one of the dinners that we had, I was sitting with people from SIPCA, and they do, like, the security ink on currency, on, like, 90% of the currency on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman sits down next to me, and he starts talking to me, and I was like, oh, what do you do in the industry? And he goes, I'm the Minister of Ag for Ecuador.
Oh.
And it was just, like, this surreal moment of, like, why am I sitting at this
right.
table?
Right. Who invited me? I feel that way all the time.
But But he was telling me about Ecuador, and he goes, I don't think we need to even really focus on CBD. It'll happen, but we can't grow enough agriculture for protein down here. So for us, it's grain. We want to be able to feed it to livestock.
Right. I mean, yeah, hemp hearts and
self-sufficient.
Right. I mean, you can buy hemp hearts in Walmart, and it's a great source of protein. I think we should probably do more shows on other forms of consumable hemp as far as a food source, and talk about fiber more, and talk about biofuels and bioplastics. You know, I think that there's not enough conversation about that happening, because people just think, you know, cannabis is weed and it's, you know, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, and that's all there is to it. And that's one of the reasons we do this show, is to teach people that that's not true. How many, I mean, there was people from, you said Canada, the U.S., Ecuador, obviously. What other countries?
We had, in person, we had about 2,000 people over the course of 3 days,
mm-hmm.
With very, very strict COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
But on the live stream, we had someone log in from Vladivostok, Russia.
Oh.
And at first, I was like, this is a hacker. There's no way. And then we had to copy paste into Google Translate real quick. And they were asking questions about hemp. So we knew it wasn't a hacker. We just had to translate from Cyrillic into English. So it was a little delay. But
That's crazy. Yeah, crazy. So in other, like, South American countries?
Yep. So we had a lovely conversation on a ride back to the hotel one night with Stefania, who's a Peruvian doctor who deals with cannabis, about guinea pigs as a protein source. Apparently they're a delicacy in Peru. So we had some interesting culinary conversations on the back and forth.
Yikes. Well, we eat some weird stuff down here. I'm from Louisiana, so we definitely eat weird stuff.
Did you ever make the medicinal grits we talked about the last time you and I talked?
You know, I have not. I was thinking more about Nutria and turtles and alligators and, you know, fish that have teeth.
Yeah.
I'm, like I said, I've seen some weird, weird food. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, all these countries coming together, that's an incredibly incredible thing. When we come back from the break, I want to talk more with Justin about this Science and Industry Congress for cannabis in Costa Rica. We'll be back from the break in just a moment.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. I'm the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street, Suite 1A, on the corner of St. Francis and Warren, next to Delta Bike Project, and one block up from Wenzel's. The number is 251-255-5155. And our website is www.cannabama.com. I hate saying www. I feel like I'm fixing to just make an idiot of myself every time. Justin, so you are the New Mexico state rep for the National Industrial Hemp Coalition. I am the Alabama state rep. So we are equals in that respect. Tell us a little bit about New Mexico. You guys are recreational now.
Well, we will be in April.
So okay.
We've had a pretty long-standing medicinal component for cannabis down here. Because when you think of New Mexico, I mean, I'm in Santa Fe, so there's lots and lots of environmentalism concerns. There's lots of retired people, which puts them back in the 60s and 70s. So as far as cannabis goes, this is a pretty friendly state for those kind of things.
Right, right, because the elderly population is the fastest-growing section of society that's using cannabis now.
Yeah, and being the 40-year-old that moved down in and kind of crashed my folks for a while we find a place, and having my mom with a medical card in her 70s,
wow,
it's been kind of funny teaching my mom how to consume cannabis I don't have my medical card yet, so I can't.
Right, that's hilarious. Yes, I know. My mom, I tell people when I first got turned on to CBD, I couldn't explain it to my mother without her being concerned that I was doing the weed. And so now my mom's like, excuse me, I'm out of oil. I need some of this and I need that. And her husband likes this and that. And it's so funny because, you know, she was like totally opposed to it in the beginning and terrified of it, you know, and just like so many people didn't understand it. So now, yes, my mom has, well, she's probably going to kill me for saying that, but my mom has smoked before, which she taught K4 for 30 years and is the most innocent-minded and just, you know, wholesome. And so it's really funny how she's like, I'm out of chocolates. Break a girl off some.
Yeah. Well, and my dad's a retired healthcare professional.
Oh, yeah.
For an insurance company.
Oh, wow.
So he's still like, this is devil's lettuce. This is crazy. And,
right.
You know, I'll hand my mom a piece of chocolate or something like that. I'm like, here you go. And my dad's like, I can't be here for this.
Oh, no.
It's legal. It's her medicine. Like, you know,
right.
It is
right.
The old family dynamics, you know?
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I think people in the medical community are in that situation that have been total prohibition all their lives. When they get to be that age, they're like, well, I can't have lived a lie. So. I'm just going to stick to my guns a couple more years until I'm gone. Well, so yeah, you said that that you guys, you were just telling me about importing from mm-hmm. Oklahoma?
Yeah, so New Mexico, I mean, we're a desert state, right? So
right.
Santa Fe is actually higher up in elevation than Denver is.
Wow.
So I tell my friends in Denver that I'm always looking down on them from New Mexico.
That's hilarious.
so... We have, you know, it's a high mountain desert. Obviously, gets into full desert in the southern part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
But down here, water rights are almost more important than owning the property itself.
Oh, I bet.
I've got a friend down here who's a grower. They went to move their legal cannabis grow, from one corner of the property to the other corner of the property just for better sun, or I forget what the reason was. But the state asked them for a copy of their water rights, and they said, "Well, we can't find them, but this farm has been generationally passed down for like 8 generations."
So right.
It said, until you can provide the document, you cannot move your grow. And so they went through and they asked all the family members. They had homesteaded that ground before New Mexico was a state.
Wow.
So they owned that land so far back that they were not even grandfathered in. They were like OG fathered in.
Right.
For water rights.
Right.
From the Spaniards. And because they didn't have a document from the state of New Mexico, they couldn't move that.
That
around.
Didn't exist at the time.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
It's painful. It's absolutely brutal to prove that. You have to go through.
You own the land. You should be able to decide what you do with whatever's on it.
And keep in mind, we have a lot of indigenous tribes down here, too. So,
right.
You know, if you're on tribal land and the water starts to become short because it's a drought or whatever, if you're a business that's consuming a lot of water, that may be pulled back so that they can continue to get water to the community that needs it and all that.
That's insane. As wet as it is right where I live, it's inconceivable to me to constantly have the threat of not enough water. I mean, we live on the water that's on the water. You know, we live on the bay that's on the Gulf that has a river running up from that. And it's like half the year we feel like we're walking around in bath water. It is wet here.
Yeah.
And we are the opposite. And
up here, it's drink 3 liters of water a day or you'll dry out.
Oh, wow. Well, we're like 6 feet above sea level here.
Yeah.
Speaking of how high Denver is, I went to Salt Lake City and Park City, and I couldn't breathe sitting down. I was like, no, I'm going to die. I have to leave this place and never come back.
Well, the bonus is if you ever come out and visit, you'll be a cheap drunk because it'll get you drunk.
Oh, God. Well, my name is Boozer. it takes like 3 drops of Chardonnay on my tongue to make me start feeling squirrely.
Well, so I think that's kind of why they looked at importing into Oklahoma, because they have a surplus. We have a connection between the two states.
Mm-hmm.
And water is a little bit easier to come by in Oklahoma than it is in New Mexico. So,
right.
The educated guess is that's kind of why they did it, because they're looking at, when we go recreational down here, the last forecast I heard is 24 to 48 hours with the product, and then we're out.
Holy, so, wow. Well, yeah, I know Oklahoma, so, Oklahoma is the opposite of most states, because whereas, like, in Alabama, they're giving out 4 dispensary licenses, with each dispensary license allowing 3 dispensaries, 12 for the whole state. After a year, if they see a need, they'll allow 2 more per license for a total of 15. And so, I'm sorry, that's not right, is it? Yeah, 4 times 5. Oh, it's 20. Sorry, I can't add. But Oklahoma, they give out licenses like candy out there.
Yeah, and they have a pretty phenomenal home grow program as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much whatever you want to go on. I mean, home grow, they have, I don't know if it's unlimited, but it doesn't seem to be limited, amount of opportunities to obtain a grow license to grow for a business or have a dispensary. And Oklahoma's becoming a major player.
Yeah, and for states like New Mexico that want to get into this, I mean, mm-hmm. We have our medical cards are reciprocal. So if you have a medical card in any state, you can come to New Mexico and
oh, wow. I always wondered if that was ever going to be a thing, because we've had people go to jail coming through our state, getting pulled over, veterans with medical cards from other states like Arizona, New Mexico, or wherever, and just passing through and get pulled over and go to jail. Like their whole lives are ruined. Because they have a medical card and they have the legally obtained medicine that they got in their state that they are carrying with them on their trip, and they stop in Alabama, and that's not okay.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's where flying with some of the hemp products has been fun for me lately.
I can imagine.
You mentioned Delta 8 at the beginning of the show, but I recently got turned on to HHC, which is another minor cannabinoid.
Yes, we sell it in the store.
That's my favorite product of all time. I just loaded up on a bunch of new carts.
Really?
Like that,
but... I haven't tried the HHC yet. We just got some gummies, and then I think we're getting some cartridges any day now.
The way I've been describing it to people is, like, if Delta 9 or Delta 8 is kind of that warm bath feeling, and mm-hmm. like, that?
Yes.
HHC, to me anyway, is like a... an inch inside of your skin, it's like a cannabis hug for your soul.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's this really kind of different feeling. I mean, it's very fun. I take it before I go to sleep or when I'm having a bad day.
Right.
And it's by far one of the most amazing compounds I've run across, and it doesn't, like, hang on to you like Delta 8 can.
Okay.
Like, if you take a pretty stout dose of Delta 8, you might have a little lag the next morning when you wake up.
See, Delta 9 does that to me. Delta 8 isn't usually a problem for me, but Delta 9, I don't do well with high amounts of Delta 9. So I am now more curious to try the HHC. HHC stands for hexahydrocannabinol. THC is tetrahydrocannabinol. So I'm not even well versed on that enough to speak on it as far as what exactly it is. I just know that a brand that I trust just released some, and we're just giving it a little dabble.
Yeah, it's a dabble, do you? I mean, it's something where you don't need to take a ton of it, and you'll have a pretty pleasant experience with it.
Right. Yeah, because it's pretty potent, but my son tried it, and he said he really enjoyed it too. So I might have to break out those gummies we got on the shelf. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the National Industrial Hemp Coalition, what we're trying to do with that, because there's so much work that goes into this process. And I know there's like a billion of us, and I know Shonda, the ringleader of the group, I can't even imagine how crazy it is for her. I know that being part of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition has been wild. But when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit more about that and what you kind of see going forward in the future. So stick around with us. We're going to go to a commercial break right now. And when we come back, we'll have more with Justin Trowbridge from New Mexico.
Back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Justin Trowbridge from New Mexico, and he is the New Mexico State Rep for the National Industrial Hemp Coalition. I am the Alabama State Rep, and so we are a part of a network of state reps from all over the country in different aspects of the industry, you know. And a coalition is so that we can work together and sort of forward momentum this whole thing. That's totally grammatically incorrect, but, you know, push things forward as a group in the right direction and sort of help each other out. You know, we just talked about how New Mexico is the complete, opposite environment as far as the weather and the climate as Alabama and things like that. So we have a lot to learn from each other. And Justin does things like go to Costa Rica and introduce that country to the wonders of hemp growing. And I'm over here just trying to teach people in Alabama that it's not the devil's lettuce. I mentioned earlier, Justin, State Senate Bill 144, which is being put up by our very own medical marijuana champion, Senator Melson. And they're trying to ban Delta 8. And I know this has been done in other states. What's your take on why they're banning Delta 8?
Well, I mean, so originally I'm from Nebraska, and our governor is quoted in Rolling Stone magazine saying marijuana kills kids.
Oh, God.
So in a state like that, they're not getting medical cannabis anytime soon.
Right.
So Delta 8 was the only medicine you could get your hands on.
Right.
So it was interesting being in a state where that was the case and then looking at states like Colorado that are a neighbor, Missouri, and even Iowa, for that matter, that have medical programs and looking at it. And I think some of it is the cannabis community. I mean, let's be candid. There are times where I tell people I'm in the hemp space, and cannabis people turn their nose up. Like, oh, you're a hemp guy? When you grow up, let me know when you want to try.
Exactly. Like, you're the redheaded stepchild. Yes. I tried to join a group of women in the cannabis industry, and most of the women were from the West Coast. And they were, you know, OGs. And I totally respect that. But that doesn't mean I'm an idiot either. And I made one post in this group just asking, hey, has anybody ever dealt with this issue? And I was, like, made fun of, like, immediately. And embarrassed. And I deleted the post and was like, yeah, no, you can have that. Because it doesn't matter that I've been here 4 years and you've been here 20, because you were once the first one and the only one and you needed help, you know, come on. So, and I think it's sad because if they really know cannabis, like we know cannabis, we're all part of the same family. You know,
yeah,
what we do is just as important, especially with the industrial applications.
Oh yeah. And the plant tells us the best way to take that in any form is with the entourage effect, right?
That's right.
It's not just one
right.
You know, cannabinoid coming through. It's
right.
All of them. And that's where I think
mm-hmm.
so many people in hemp are pushing that envelope because they can't go after Delta 9. They have to go after Delta 8 or Delta 10 or HHC or THCO.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going down the terpene path. They're going down building stuff with it, bioplastic. And if you talk to people in the cannabis space, like, oh, yeah, I got another cross strain with Girl Scout cookies. It's like, well, what are you doing? Like, I get it, but
right.
There's so much else you could do.
Right. Yeah. Yawn. And, next. Impress me with
yeah,
something different. If all you're doing is splicing genes together, you know, it's been done before. Bring me something new and innovative that can change a whole industry outside of cannabis, you know? Bring me something that can keep us from fighting wars over a very limited supply of a resource that can't be replaced. And show me how sustainable hemp can eliminate the need for that. That gets me going.
And I think that's where Delta 8 kind of came up as a thorn in someone's side because, you know, the cannabis industry.
Right. Now they don't have a monopoly on what they had a monopoly on before.
Yeah. And we were legal. First.
Right. Right.
And all of a sudden, it's this, wait a minute. And then from being the little ugly stepchild to
right.
the, like, wait a minute, you could take me out of the competition here.
I think a lot of the states like in Alabama, I think, why would the guy who is the biggest champion for weed in the legislative body now turn around and try to poke us in the eye and ruin, because I'm not exaggerating, be a complete devastation to the legal businesses that have been here and followed all the rules and done what's expected of us and what we're supposed to and not taking advantage. And, you know, we're not doing things dirty. Why would he come in and then undo some of the progress we've made by using words like it's a detriment to the state? No, opioids are a detriment to this state. The alcohol I got 5 different breweries around my little store. Which one's doing damage? It ain't me. You know, it's not creating addicts and killing people in vehicles and contributing to domestic violence. You know? I don't understand it, but I do know that it is probably a threat to dispensaries if people can get very, very, very comparable medicine without having to have a card and go through the hoops, and that they're already getting it. They're gonna hinder that because they don't want it to cut into people wanting to get medical cards.
But I think a lot of it, too, is if you look at even, like, the alcohol industry, right? So, mm-hmm. like, regular wine and fortified wine are taxed at different rates.
Mm-hmm.
So Wild Irish Rose is 13.9% alcohol because if you go over 14%, it's a different tax bracket.
Mm.
So it's the same thing with hemp and cannabis, right? So mm-hmm. I can sell hemp flower for a significantly less higher ticket item
right.
than I can cannabis because my taxation is totally different.
Right, you pay a regular 10% sales tax as opposed
exactly.
to, you know, up to 40% in some states.
And the fact that a gas station or a movie theater or anywhere that shouldn't be selling an intoxicant like that can do it a lot of times in a lot of states without a license
mm-hmm.
is scary. I mean, it's something
it is.
I don't, I mean, you know, we always joke about CBD gas station, you know, and it's like you should not be able to pick up what I like to call trucker's crack, poor man's Viagra, and then Delta 8 off a little rack that has like these really colorful things that long been
right
in
and wash it down with your soda and your candy bar, which is causing all the inflammation that makes you need the CBD in the first place.
Yeah,
it's lunacy, right? Because you wouldn't buy your antibiotics at the Circle K.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a combination of things. It's taxation, it's understanding the chemistry, it's technically a new enough product. There aren't any clinical studies, but at the same time, there aren't any clinical studies for cannabis. It's all criminal records.
Right.
Because it's been illegal for so long. So
right.
the industry's catching up, and should there be a dose of caution with Delta 8 products? Probably.
Well, with any products, there's people, there are bad actors out there. You know, people are always complaining. It's not regulated. It's the wild, wild west. I swear every time I hear the term wild, wild west, I want to scream. Come on, people. We can't even have original thoughts. But, you know, well, then regulate it. Do something
yeah.
about it. I wish that we did have more rules. I asked the ag commissioner in Alabama, were they planning on creating a retailer's license that you have to pass some scrutiny? Because I am for that. I could pass all those tests. I think it needs a 5-page written exam. And I got rolled eyes and ignored. Like it's not important. We're the boots on the ground. We're the ones convincing people to try this. Why wouldn't you want us to be regulated just like growers, you know, just like processors? If the problem is it's not regulated, then frickin' regulate it. You know, but then there's the option. There's also the the fact that we want, ultimately, we want medical freedom. We want to be able to home grow. We want to be able to choose for ourselves, you know, and that's the ultimate goal. But now we've got to stop and fight these small fights because what we have is working, sort of, you know. It's we're making do with it and the limitations that we have. And just throwing these bans in, I mean, stop letting people bring it in from China. How about that?
Yeah. Well, and when you ban something like Delta 8, then all of a sudden the focus will shift to Delta 10.
And then THCO, and 10, where does it end?
THCO.
Right, right. Well, so,
unless they step in and figure out a way to regulate it, and because the people that you want doing this, the people are going to pass all the background checks, they're going to pass all the compliance regulations.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, let me make money in America.
Right.
Don't penalize me because somebody from somewhere else did something stupid and endangered people.
Right. And if it means that I can sell to my customers what they need, send somebody from the state in to check and make sure that my products are legit. You know, do what you got to do. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you so much, Justin, for being on the show from New Mexico and talking to us about Costa Rica and the National Industrial Hemp Coalition and my beef with this Delta 8 ban. You can find Delta 8 right now at Cannabama in downtown Mobile on our website at cannabama.com and all over the city, in fact. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, man.